The SR2 committee, April 23rd.
What are you doing today?
Call's order.
You're all mixed up.
And we're looking at public hearing on House Bill 3958. And is this Ms. McNitt still? Would you like us to do just a tap-tap today, or would you like to spend a lot of time talking about it?
Mr. Chair, I understand that there are some parties involved that are going to work on some minor amendments.
If you've got time to talk about it right now, and you've got your firepower here, why, let's bring them on. I think, for your information, colleagues, Christina was telling me there are some amendments that they want to make to this, or she's proposing making to it. And that was the reason for my question as to whether we wanted to hear it now or wait for the amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Member. And this, Christina McNitt, representing Oregon Water Resources Congress. And for the record, I actually don't have any firepower right here. I couldn't find any real-life irrigation people to come and join me at the witness table today, but the department assures me that they're fully behind me.
Way back against the wall.
Yeah. This is a kind of a complicated bill. House Bill 3958 is sponsored by Representative Jan Lee and was drafted at the request of OWRC, amending ORS Chapters 536 relating to Water Resource Administration and 540, the distribution of water. House Bill 3958 was drafted in close consultation with the Oregon Department of Water Resources to provide tools to water districts having existing statutes that govern permanent and temporary transfers. At issue is the ability of districts to apply existing transfer processes to storage and stored water. House Bill 3958 also modifies existing requirements for water districts seeking temporary transfers to more closely parallel requirements for permanent transfers. Under current law, allowances exist for the temporary transfer of the place of use of water, and if necessary to convey that water, a temporary change in the point of diversion or the point of appropriation. Under House Bill 3958, Section 1 adds the ability of a water user to temporarily transfer the type of use identified in a right to store water for a period of 5 years or less. Section 1 also specifies that the time during which water is stored under an approved temporary transfer order does not apply towards state finding of forfeiture. Section 2 of the bill adds language under 540-570 relating to district temporary transfers that's similar to language found under 540-580, which governs permanent transfers within districts. Current temporary provisions do not work well for users due to plants and schedules. A lot of irrigation users do not know either which field or what crop will be planted in time to provide notice 60 days prior to water delivery. In exchange for this management flexibility, districts have agreed to take on more accountability and be subject to civil penalties. Substantively, in Section 2, it changes the time period for temporary transfers within districts from 5 years to only 1 year, so the department can better track the water uses. This section also includes the stored water provisions added to Section 1, which you find on page 2, line 35. Section 3 of the bill modifies ORS 545 relating to permanent transfers again within districts, requiring a district to file a petition with the department if a district allows a change in the place of use of water before obtaining approval of the department. Sections 4 and 5 of the bill ensure that the new provisions of House Bill 3958 fall under existing penalty provisions for ORS Chapter 536 and 540. Section 6 of the bill establishes an effective date for transfers submitted on or after the effective date of this act. And finally, Section 7 of the bill provides an emergency clause. Mr. Chair, and members, just for information, we'll have some other people coming and testifying, but there have been some discussion about some of the language that we've included here, and I think that there are friendly amendments that really get to the substance of why Oregon Water Resources Congress submitted the bill to begin with, and be happy to sit down and work with the parties and come up with language for future hearings.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this set up a separate standard for water right holders within the district from water right holders that are not in the district?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, I don't believe it sets up anything different. District users have always been able to use transfer provisions, and mm-hmm. the department can answer that more specifically than I can. But it would provide some more standards within the transfer, the temporary transfer provisions that parallel the permanent transfer provisions. Section 2 of the bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess my question would be, if this is good for water right holders that are within a irrigation district, why wouldn't it be good for all water right holders? I mean, I'm wondering why it's so narrow rather than just dealing with water rights in general, in or out of the water control district.
We'll get to the department momentarily here, and if you would, Representative Cruz, save that question. And
I think it was noted in the document.
I thought so. I gathered the body language indicated there was some note. Representative Lee.
I was just going to, if I might, Mr. Chair, comment to Mr. Cruz's question as well, that we could wait for the department to do that if they're coming up.
I think they're coming up right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Byler with the Water Resources Department. With me today is Tom Paul. He's the administrator of our Field Services Division. That is the division in the agency that oversees our transfer program. And we appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today to testify on House Bill 3958. This is a bill that the Oregon Water Resources Congress approached the department staff on last summer, and we were grateful for the opportunity to work through some of these issues relating to temporary district transfers and permanent district transfers, as well as a provision in this bill, which is new to law, in terms of allowing the temporary type of use change for a right to store water. I might just take a couple minutes to, in the written testimony, we've laid out kind of what the bill does and our position on it. We are supportive of the concepts in this bill. I do want to just point out a couple of specific issues that I think are worthy of note. One is the authority that this bill would provide to allow for the temporary change in type of use for a right to store water. We see this as a great tool that could be very useful for both districts and other water users who hold storage rights to be able to have flexibility to act quickly in situations where they may need to make changes to their water systems to account for the pressures that are often found from Endangered Species Act listings. And I'll give you an example of how this could work. Under current law, every water right holder who wants to have a storage project has to get a right to store the water. If you want to use the water from that storage, you have to get another right. We call it a secondary right. A right to store the water, the first right that you have, has purposes attached to it, types of uses that can be made of that water. And oftentimes, especially for older projects, they are not available for multiple purposes. They'll just be for irrigation purposes, let's say. This bill would allow a holder of that old storage right with just an irrigation purpose attached to it to change that type of use temporarily to include other uses, which could include in-stream flow purposes, as an example, which would then allow uses of that stored water to be committed to in-stream purposes, which could be very useful in situations where water users need to act quickly to deal with pressures for low flows, and especially if they're in a listed area. And I know the chair is aware of folks in the Walla Walla Basin who have been looking for additional tools to respond to these types of situations, and we see this as having potential to help folks in this kind of situation. This type of transfer would be subject to the same kinds of standards that any other temporary transfer would, which is an injury test, which could be also, which is, with temporary transfers, not only do we look to see whether there's injury before the transfer takes place, but if there's injury discovered after the action takes place, we can revoke the transfer. That's special to temporary type transfers because of the quicker process that they go through. And that, I hope, responds a little bit to Representative Cruz's question about whether you'd mentioned whether the standard is the same. Indeed, the standard is the same for any kind of temporary transfer. It is an injury review. There is a distinction, though, that could be made between districts and non-district transfers, and that involves in terms of the process that we have, the process for district transfers is a little bit different, and I think there's reason for it. Districts tend to be more organized. They have a manager who is overseeing the area of the district. Because of that organization, they know where the water is being used, they know where the water is being moved, they're planning ahead of time. So with district transfers, we have less concern about injury questions, generally speaking. If for the non-district transfers, it tends to be individuals making transfers, and we don't have that same kind of oversight and organizational effort involved, and it helps us in terms of letting this process be a little bit different for the district transfers. That's one of the reasons why we allow these district transfers to not have the same kind of time constraints and review process up front that the other transfers have. We're still able to revoke the transfer if we find injuries on it.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to comment further on that. I think the most significant difference between district transfers and individual transfers is that each of them have one point of diversion. There may be one point of diversion for the whole district, so that there is a lesser injury standard in many cases, and the district can mitigate the water internally so that there won't be injury. And I guess the question I'd like to ask is, since we've had temporary transfers for districts since 1987 and temporary for individuals since 95, have you ever had any injuries reported?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lee, here says no.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I might add to Representative Lee makes a good point, and another point to distinguish the district transfers from the other types of transfers is that these transfers all take place within the district, not outside of the district. So we do have a better control, a better idea of where the water is being used, and that's very helpful in terms of our evaluation. I think in my rambling response to that last question, I think I covered the other issue that I wanted to address. I just might point out that we are aware of the issues that have been raised by Water Watch, and I believe you'll be hearing testimony from them about three issues that they would like to see addressed in some amendments. We're open to those issues. We think they would actually help the bill. They would clarify it. We don't see them being a huge substantive changes, but rather some points that would help clarify the bill.
Representative Cruz, did we sufficiently,
for now,
skirt around that issue? Sir? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. We have, I think, a written testimony that is being circulated to you from Water Watch of Oregon. We would want that to be recognized as part of the record from Doug Myers, Water Watch, dated April 23, 2001. Here entered. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on this bill? Not signed up. Understanding then that we will have some friendly amendments coming on Wednesday. We'll hold this measure over for work session for Wednesday of this week. Okay. And at that point, we're going to close the public hearing on 3958, and we're going to open a public hearing on 3728. And at this point, we're going to close the public hearing on 3728. And at this point, we would like to open a work session on House Bill 3341. Staff will read us the where we're at and what area, what we need to do with this one.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3341 is directing the Department of Fish and Wildlife to develop and implement a plan to reduce and control pinniped predation of salmonids in state waters. It's requiring the department to submit the plan to an appropriate interim committee of the 71st Legislative Assembly and to the Secretary of Commerce, declaring an emergency and is effective on passage.
Have somebody take the time? Oh, I'm sorry. Is Mr. Brown here from ODF&W? Come forward, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, also there is a companion bill over on our Senate chamber side, Senate Bill 31, engrossed a version which did pass the chamber, which is also directing the State Department of Fish and Wildlife to submit programs to obtain control over the harbor seal and California sea lion population in Oregon waters from the federal government.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Brown. Would you care to make some comments?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Leonard, and committee members, my name is Robin Brown with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I appreciate the opportunity to review our previous statements to you on House Bill 3341. Just as a brief introduction, again, as we've discussed, the department has is concerned about predation by locally abundant predators, in particular cases where stocks of fish are severely depressed, and there's a possible negative impact on the recovery of those fish stocks that so many folks are working to accomplish. We've also mentioned to you that we've worked with other West Coast states and with the National Marine Fisheries Service to propose some amendments to the current Marine Mammal Protection Act that would allow increased management options for state and federal resource agencies to deal with these sorts of salmonid predation interaction problems. And I think we have briefly reviewed some of the research that we are in the process of conducting to assess and evaluate the effects of seal and sea lion predation on salmonid populations. Our just to briefly summarize our specific comments on HB 3341, which we presented to you, I believe, on March 21st of this year. We've raised the standard concerns for the cost and the public controversy that would be involved with creation of an entirely new management program within the department to manage marine mammal species, and I think we covered some of the reasons why that those things tend to be so highly controversial among the public. We also talked about the aspects of the current federal law that require the state to make an optimum sustainable population determination for each species that we propose management or propose to receive management for. And I'd mentioned previously some of the current difficulties with making those determinations. Basically, not one has been successfully made for any species to date, and that's an essential requirement in order to develop a management plan and seek transfer of management under the current federal law as it exists. And then in the particular case of HB 3341, which focuses on the use of non-lethal management options, we briefly discussed the current lack of truly effective or long-term non-lethal management tools at the present time. Again, briefly, those are our comments. As the committee administrator mentioned, it was our understanding that Senate Bill 3341 was also under consideration and is at Ways and Means, and I might mention that any...
Sorry, did you mean Senate Bill 31A?
Senate Bill 31,
okay.
As amended.
You said 3341.
So. Sorry about that. What I was going to suggest was that if the department was directed to develop a management plan under that bill, obviously, that such a plan would consider all non-lethal options that are available and could be used for management purposes prior to implementation of any lethal measures in management options. So in that concern, in that case, some of the concerns that have been presented in HB 3341, I think, would be covered in the other management plan as well. That's just an additional observation. I know I very quickly summarized our previous comments. I'd be glad to try to answer any specific questions if there are any.
Any questions for Mr. Penn? Representative Cruz?
Yeah. Could you give a little detail of what the Senate bill asks of the department?
Representative Cruz, I'll quickly try to do that because I think I have it here with me. The bill would direct the department to develop a management plan. Maybe I'll just refer directly to it here. Prepare and submit to the Secretary for Approval, Secretary of Commerce, a program to transfer management authority for marine mammals in the state waters to the state of Oregon under the Marine Mammal Protection Act as amended. This plan for proposal would be developed by December 31 of 2002. I believe that was one of the amendments made. It was originally said 2004. And there would be appropriated to the department for the biennium beginning July 1 of 2001 out of the general fund the amount of $300,000 for the purpose of carrying out Section 1 of this Act. So basically it's a generic direction to the agency to develop a broad-based management plan for marine mammals, as I would indicate, would surely include all appropriate and available and necessary management options that we had available to us.
I didn't notice any reference specifically to obviously if we're trying to get to optimum populations, which nobody can define, that becomes problematic. But I didn't notice any reference specifically to deal with some amount of predation, kind of a point specific sort of thing. Or was there testimony in committee or on record about that being a prime focus of this study or not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, I believe there was discussion to that effect, and I think one of our direct recommendations was to amend. I recognize that I'm not holding the amended bill in front of me here, and I think one of our recommendations was to specifically address the question of California sea lions and Pacific harbor seals and their predation on depressed and recovering salmonid stocks in Oregon.
Okay, I guess, Mr. Chair, if that specific inference is in the Senate bill, that covers the concerns that I had, was that because obviously for us to do a coast-wide anything is problematic, and for us to try to deal with optimum populations is also problematic, and the whole intent of this was to allow us to have a tool to deal with specific predation at points of predation. So with the assurances that the Senate bill is pointed in that direction, I think that would cover intent of what this legislation was meant to do.
Chair, Representative Cruz, I think you've described what my understanding of Senate Bill 31 is, and I promise I'll take a quick look at it here in the back of the room again, and if there's anything that is contrary to that, we'll be sure and let you know, but that's my current understanding of the bill.
Thank you. Further questions? So I recess this hearing and open it up.
Mr. Chair, it's my bill, and I don't have authorship in this. All I was after was actually to develop a tool. And if the Senate has already done that, then I'm very thankful, and we can let it go.
Do you have another bill? Okay. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 3341, and we're going to... Okay, so I go ahead and open it, and we'll just kind of start it while we're here. What do you want to do? Stand by.
Good.
We'll be at ease at the moment.